Hello and welcome. This is the LCU Podcast, a podcast that brings you stories, insights, and people from Lubbock Christian University. I'm Nathan Carcino, and I'm joined by Keegan Stewart, and we're so excited to bring you this episode today. We had the privilege to talk to Skylar Richardson and hear all about her flower farm here in West Texas, Sky Gardens. She reflected on what it was like spending her childhood around the farm, what pushed her to start her own business after being a student here at LCU, some of the challenges that go into running this business throughout the year, but also how rewarding it is to grow and be a part of something she loves so much. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Skylar Richardson.
Thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here with y'all.
Nathan and I are excited to have a conversation with you and just welcome you back to LCU today. So thanks for taking the time. Let's start here, Skylar. We're going to cover a lot of different areas today, but let's start here. Sky Gardens.
What in the world is it, right?
That's where I want to start.
Yeah.
Explain to someone who's just learning what Sky Gardens is and what you do.
Yeah, so we grow flowers in West Texas, which is pretty wild if you even think about, you know, I don't know. Some days are really brown. Other days are beautiful. But yeah, we grow flowers. They're mostly for cut flowers. We do some plants, but not a whole lot. And we sell those directly to people. Try to sell them most that way just because that's where you can get the best price. And everything kind of works better that way. And then we sell them to Market Street and United, which has got a wholesale type of venue there, and then do weddings, events, funerals, the whole nine yards, really. It's kind of like just a whole florist wrapped around a farm.
So how did you come up with the idea of Sky Gardens? We're going to, in a little bit, talk about your LCU journey, what you studied, but tell us, hey, we're going to do a flower farm.
Yeah.
Where did this come from? Where was the inspiration? And I want to hear the genesis of it.
The whole everything. There's a whole lot to it. So the Sky Gardens for the first time was born, I guess there's really two segments of how we got to this. Whenever I was little, like I need a time machine to travel back to ask me like where this idea even came from. Because I was about, I don't really know the time for sure. I'm pretty sure I was about 7 years old. My parents just built a house, and they were building that house, and my grandma went on a trip, and she got a greenhouse for me. And it was really weird. I feel like it makes me sound like a spoiled little kid, which, yes, of course, my grandparents did spoil me. But a little bit of backstory on that, too. My cousin, who was six, whenever I was six, he passed away in a car accident. And so that kind of made it, I guess, I don't know. I feel like I was a little sad little kid, and everybody in my family knew that. And so I think she was really trying to put a smile on my face again. And it was one of those things, like, I loved gardening with her. She grew tomatoes, she grew squash, okra, all the things. And I loved being out there in it with her. And so she knew that. And so she got me this greenhouse, right? And I called it Sky Gardens. And I started, I'd sell her the plants that she had just bought me at the store, but I sold them back to her and to go plant in her garden. And then I had some more plants that she had bought me that I would grow in that greenhouse. And I would grow them, and they'd have some tomatoes, and then I'd sell the tomatoes to her. And then I'd run across the road, because she just lived right across the road from us, and I'd go eat those tomatoes right off her table. And so my poor grandma got nothing from the whole deal. Well, she got a lot of happiness, I'm sure. But it was definitely not good financially for her. But Sky Gardens was like, that was, it was a great business plan for me, because I didn't have any risk, right, at all. It was all good and fine, and I just made money for no reason, so it was great. But it was totally just out of the blue. And I guess really, the more I look at this, I think my parents just named me well, because I'd put Sky in front of anything and I'd call it a business whenever I was a kid. And so I was just a very entrepreneurial little girl, really. And so for a lot of like Sky babysitting, Sky, all these different things were kind of like all in my whole realm of businesses at that point in time. And so it wasn't, I guess, whenever I look back on it, I'm like, okay, how did this happen? Hmm. It's not like it was just, okay, this is exactly what business I'd always dreamed of, because it really wasn't. And eventually that greenhouse blew away and I didn't really look back at that point in time. You know, I was in high school and junior high probably at that point. And so you start doing athletics, all those sorts of things. It just gets busy. Life gets busy. And so being at a greenhouse and doing that was not the whole goal. And so then I guess as I was growing up and I was at LCU, my plans were totally opposite of that. If we fast forward, I guess, over to 2020, in March of 2020 specifically, everybody knows what happened that time. But I had planned on taking the LSAT and going to law school. And so that was the plan. I was going to do that in March. It was going to be great. It was all golden. And they shut the testing centers down. And I just kept on praying, okay, God, what is next? Because I don't know if you want me going to law school and just getting head over heels in debt, because I wouldn't get too much scholarship at this point in time for not taking the test and not having the good scholarship money there. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe we'll just start looking elsewhere. And I was in, I guess I was working at a flower shop and for a wedding planner. And I just get flowers in and I just keep on getting them in. And I just started thinking, you know, maybe some of these can be grown here. And so I just Google how to grow whatever and see if it would even grow in our zone, like how that worked and everything. And I'm telling you, it was just Googling and doing a whole lot of research from that point in time, which I guess LCU just prepared me for. Because I just started researching like how in the world to do it. And I told my dad, Dad, I think I want to bring back Sky Gardens. And he said, what? And I said, I think I don't want to go to law school. I want to bring back Sky Gardens. And he was like a nursery, like a garden center? Like, what do you want to do? And I said, no, I want to grow flowers. And he laughed. And he was like, Skylar, you know, and I say this, and I feel like it makes him sound like a bad person. He was not, like, and he jumped in head over heels, like, so supportive of it, too. But he was very like, okay, we got to, you know, show me what you're thinking. We definitely need a greenhouse because we can't grow flowers here. There's no way. I don't know. Show me, you know, like
you're in
everything.
You're in the country in Ropesville.
Yeah. So, yep. We're in between Loveland and Lubbock on 1585. So we're closest to Ropes at this point. Actually, we might be closest to Lubbock now since it's just growing out that direction. But our address is Loveland, and we were in the Rope School District, and we were always at church in Lubbock. And so we just always been in the middle of nowhere, really. But we're like cotton fields are all around us. There is no wind block protection whatsoever. My dad knows that. He is a wise man. He was like, no way, this is not going to be good. And so that's kind of where all of that was born out of, is because he was smart in thinking, this is going to be difficult. And so just started researching from there, though. And, I mean, the rest of it is kind of, that's how we just got started at that point. So that's the whole beginning of how in the world we even thought of it, I guess.
I love that it circles back to a childhood memory of you almost playing.
Yeah.
Like, as a little girl having fun with something your grandma gifted to you.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
It was wild.
Could you take us back to when you're playing, kind of just free will, enjoying it? Did you ever imagine at that point that this could turn into something?
Or? It makes me laugh so hard because I'm just like, no, not at all. Like, I always loved the land that we grew up on. My family's been farming there for forever. My grandpa was farming for 50 years until he retired last year, and before that it was his dad. And so my great-grandparents, they moved to that exact location in the 1950s. And so we've been there forever. And it was one of those things I was like, okay, I know that I love the land. Anytime that my grandpa had anything that he kind of wanted me to help with at all, which wasn't very often because he was like, Skylar, no, you don't need to be out in the sun. You know, we don't need to have you out. But I'd ride the tractor with him all the time. My grandma would make lunch every day before we got into school. And so we'd go over and eat lunch with her. He'd come over. And that was my grandma and Pop. Those are two different sets of grandparents. So my great-grandma is the one that I normally talk about there. And then my granny and Pop. So my Pop is her son. And so they'd come over. We'd eat lunch all together. And I remember just thinking, man, this is just the life. Like, I would love to do this, you know? But it was also one of those things that we got to grow up and live in the real world. And what are you actually going to do with your life? Is kind of how I feel like I got turned all around to, okay, yeah, I do want to go to law school. So I don't know. It was just total miracle that we ended up. I mean, it's just, it's God all over it. That's for sure.
So when you got started, how did you say, okay, here's our new business. Now we need to establish ourselves. We need to become known. Because I heard you a few moments ago, you're doing weddings, you're in Market Street, people know you, you've got a following. Yeah. At the beginning, when you don't have those things.
No, and it's terrifying, you know? Like, I'm
starting something out.
Yes.
So how did you do it?
I told people for 4 years, like I was going to go to med school, and then I changed it to where I'm going to go to law school, right? And so I told people for 4 years going to school, yeah, I'm going to go to law school. This is going to be great. And so I feel like I probably, and you know, everybody's in pandemic mode. I mean, we're all talking to each other, but I'm not telling anybody about this crazy side thing that I don't even know if it's going to happen yet. Cause also, like, that's scary to tell people, oh yeah, I'm going to start my own business. Cause then you're like, what if this all just like falls completely apart? I kind of don't want anybody to know just in case if that happens. Right. And so it was terrifying, honestly, because I feel like I just blindsided people like, oh, yeah, I started Sky Gardens. And they're like, wait, what is it? What are you even talking about? I thought you were going to go to law school. And so.
Yeah, let me just say.
Keegan, you know.
We were classmates together. We were good friends in college. And yeah, I knew Skylar, the future lawyer. But I will say this. I was not surprised. I was not too surprised. The thought was, oh, yeah, that's going to work. You know, like she's going to figure that out. I'm like, oh, she's going to figure that out and that's going to be successful.
You're
so while it was a curveball.
Yeah.
It was still really like, oh, this is going to be fun to watch, you know? So.
Oh, I appreciate that. Cause I'm telling you, it was like, you don't know how people are going to react to whenever you go, okay, I'm going to go from going to law, like I'm going to go to law school to I'm going to grow flowers. And whenever you first think someone's growing flowers, you're like, oh, you have a nice flower bed in your front yard, you know, like totally opposite of anything that like it actually is too. And so it's just crazy. And so really I created that Instagram account too, because you know, then you're like, okay, how am I going to start getting the word out here? And I created an Instagram account, and it was one of those things like I did not follow anybody. I feel like most people would either change their name on their personal account or create an account and then follow everybody that they had been following, like all their friends. And I was like, no, whoever's going to come to this is going to come to it on their own. And I'm not going to follow anybody because I don't want them to feel like they have to follow me either. And if they come, they come. If they don't, like it's just going to have to build slowly at this point, right? And so I remember doing that and I was just like, well, I wonder who's going to follow me. And it was like my mom, my sister, my dad, me, just a bunch of small. I think Keegan, probably you were one of the first people that followed and hopped on it too. So pretty wild. But yeah, I think the Instagram was like the big thing. That's like whenever I think of Sky Garden's birthday, because we didn't have like an opening day. You know, there's not like we opened our doors to the public on this day. I mean, we did sell our first bouquet on one day. But I think of like when it all got started is whenever that Instagram account was made, because it became real. Like I couldn't really undo it too well at that point in time.
You mentioned it a little earlier, but not only is it a wild idea to decide to grow flowers, but to grow flowers in West Texas may not be the easiest thing in the world. What are some of those challenges with creating and establishing, continuing this farm in this weather?
Yeah, that. It is exhausting, honestly. I was talking to one of my friends about this the other day, because You know, most businesses, you can say, okay, yeah, you know, like if I'm going to clean your carpet, this is the day I can do it. I've got all this set up. This is great. Yep, good deal. And you know what? We can get you on a monthly like thing. I'll come every month and make sure it happens, right? But with flowers, especially the way that we grow them, there's so many unknowns. I don't know what exactly is blooming at a certain time. And the fall is pretty dependable. Like I know, okay, we're going to have beautiful flowers for throughout most of the fall. But the spring, we have beautiful flowers blooming. But I don't know when it's going to be over. Like we had a crazy windstorm last week with the 80 mile per hour gusts. And I didn't talk to any, like I was like, I'm not going to schedule anything for next week at all because I don't know if it's all going to be over on one day. And so that's like crazy, just the unpredictability of it. And people, you know, they need to make their orders too. So that's hard because then you're like, I'm sorry, I don't know exactly if this flower will be blooming or not. If it is, then I can definitely make sure that we've got you on the list for that. So just, it's so unpredictable as far as what I can do and when, but I know that God's got it no matter what, you know? And so it's one of those things like, I feel confident enough, like we sell a spring subscription. I feel confident enough to say, okay, yeah, we will have something for 8 weeks of the spring. I don't know when that's going to start. I don't know whenever it's going to end exactly, but I'm pretty sure we can fill at least those orders for sure. And so I kind of do it that way. And then I just schedule, like we have open farm nights and things like that. And I schedule them the week of just because I can look at the weather. I can see what it's going to look like. And then I can make plans accordingly there. So
the weather component is just fascinating to me.
It's wild.
Have you gotten better at it? Because in West Texas, it just has to be frustrating at times.
Yeah.
Because you're making these plans like any business owner, but then outside suddenly changes it.
Yeah.
So how have you learned to navigate that, adapt, and is it still really frustrating?
No, I mean, it still is. So we built two high tunnels, and so we finished the first one on Christmas of 2021, and then now we have two that are completely in full operation. But within the past 2 years, the tops of these plastics in every other place in the country, they normally last for 4 to 6 years, depending on how long, or just how bad the sun is, you know, how much wear and tear they have. We have changed it 6 times in the past 2 years between the two of them now. And it's just one of those things like at 80 mile per hour wind, they tell you you're supposed to go ahead and cut them because the structure at least will survive if the top doesn't. But you don't normally know 80 mile per hour is coming until it's right there. And you probably shouldn't be out in it cutting it either. And so we had 100 mile per hour microburst that came, took out a ton. That was in 2022. Last year we had February 26th. It was the brownest day I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Took the top off both of them then. And Sunday of this past week, that was the same thing as the last one. And what we've done is we've made the tunnels stronger as they've gone. And so it was one of those things, you know, you're praying like, okay, God, what is the plan here? Like, what is your will for this? Because I really don't know what to do, especially after those tops ripped off each of those times. But we changed something, you know, or built it back. Me and my dad built all of those. And so we would, you know, put a different shade cloth on it or do something different to where it feels like we're at a stronger point to where hopefully even 80 mile per hour winds, which shouldn't be a factor. Like if we were anywhere else in the country, like it wouldn't matter as much. But it does because we're here. And so I think every single time we've changed something, we've changed from nails to screws whenever they told us not to use screws because it'll tear stuff. And so we just have navigated to where it's working at this point in time, but there's still days that I'm like, okay. And we all have open farm nights and You know, if a rainstorm pops up, we would much rather have the rain, usually, most of the time. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'll plant all the farm nights you want, God, if you want to send the rain with it. Like, right. That's great. But if they don't come too, then, you know, it's also at the point where I'm like, okay, God, what is it? What is next? Because the weather aspect is one of those things that you just really have no idea ever what it's going to be like. So,
did you have a moment after you took the leap? Okay, I'm doing this. I'm doing Sky Gardens, but you're still figuring it out. Did you have a moment at some point in time where it's like, okay, I know this is what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I know I can make it doing that. And how did you navigate those moments of doubt before it? And what led to that moment of, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think I got this. Work. Yeah, I don't know if there was an exact moment that I was like, okay, this is for sure. There have been moments, though, and it's a lot of time in the fall whenever it's just beautiful outside and we have one of those amazing sunsets. And I'm just looking around like, wow, God, I can't believe this is what you have for me. Like, thank you for making this your will for my life, you know? And I tell people, too, I feel like he's just calling me to tend his garden and here, do this, you know, be a part of this. And I know that it's not always perfect. I know it always doesn't go very well sometimes. But at the end of the day, like, that is what I'm trying to do, is tend his garden so that it can testify and that people that see it and people that see the flowers, like, we're growing miracle flowers, if you really think about it. Like, the fact that it's all able to happen this way, it is a total miracle. And so whenever people get that in their homes, or if they get it whenever they come to the farm, like, they get to see, wow, how in the world is this happening out here, especially after days like Sunday. It's like, these flowers, they're testifying. They're saying this is what we're doing. And I know my little sister, she's a 13 now, she'll look around and she's like, Skylar, it looks like we have a flower farm. You know, like, if I have a bucket of flowers or something, we've gotten a cooler and got the tunnels up. They're working now. And it's like, wow, like, this looks like this could work. Like, this will be a good thing. And so I think there's just a lot of random moments that I'm like, okay, God, that was a yes nod from you. You know, like, this is a good thing right here. So
then once you see things starting to move in the right direction, how do you start figuring out certain business components to Sky Gardens? There's pricing, there's marketing, and a lot of other things that go into a business. How did you figure all those things out?
Yeah, so originally right off the bat, I took like a flower farming course, I guess, to kind of see more about flower pricing. I feel like that's how I got into all of it, is because I was working in a flower shop, and I'd look at those invoices and I'd see the names of the flowers, I'd see the prices, and that's where I was really like, wow, because flowers are so expensive, right? And I feel like people like say that, you know, flowers are expensive, and yes, they are. And I feel like it's a lot of times, you know, like, okay, at the flower shop, they're expensive. But I think if they realize, just looking at that invoice, you know, of how much they are per stem, for everything that even just that florist is buying at a wholesale rate, they are expensive. And so I was like, you know, I got into it and I was like, well, what I would like to do is have something to where you can get a better price for the flowers and not be quite as expensive as it could be. And that was kind of the whole, because I think everybody should get flowers because they're pretty and they make everybody smile no matter what, for the most part. And so, but from there, I took a course. It said, you know, this is what regular prices are, kind of just around the industry and what all people expect for the most part. And so I've tried to stay mostly around those types of things. But like, for a good example, we are doing an open farm night thing. It's $35 for a jar, right? You can come cut as many flowers as you want that can fit in that jar during the fall, because those flowers are not as expensive. because they're not, they don't have the high tunnel. I call it high-end real estate in the tunnels because it's like the most expensive stuff there. But it's not as expensive that way, and people can fill it as full as they can possibly get it. And normally, if they don't have it full enough, we're like, hey, you need to go put some more in there. You're not going home yet. And for what to do in the spring, I was like, okay, I got to figure out like how to count up a number of stems that like won't make me go under from not having enough from these very expensive flowers, but also like hopefully can be a good deal and like people would, you know, enjoy it. And it came out to like 14 stems, right? And then people started coming and cutting them, and I was like, this is like literally what is filling up the jar of those flowers too. And it's just one of those things like, okay, God, I guess that was a yes on that one too, you know? Like, they can maybe squeeze a few more extra stems in, but 14 stems were what fits of that specific flower. And so, pricing, it is exhausting trying to figure out what in the world, and especially because florists, and I sell wholesale to florists too, they're paying that same price for those flowers, you know, out. And normally my flowers are less expensive for those florists than what they're paying wholesale anywhere else, because I'll, you know, try to give them a deal too. And so I'm like, please put more in your arrangements, because, you know, you're getting a deal on it. Everybody else gets a deal on it too. So it's exhausting though.
What's your favorite month of the year?
Oh, October, I think, which is kind of crazy too, because it's one of those things, you know, the weather.
Yeah.
You don't know if that freeze is going to come early, but it starts cooling down enough to where everything gets beautiful out on the farm. We have dahlias blooming then, and they're everybody's favorite for that time of year. But then also here we are. I think the only reason the spring months are not my favorite, like they might be my favorite flower. I'm not really, I try not to pick a favorite because it's like a kid, right? Like I can't do that. But they're beautiful flowers right now. But I think just the wind and all that looking at in the spring is kind of what makes it not my favorite. But October is just, it's beautiful days, beautiful sunsets and sunrises and all of it. And I get to see the sunrises and the sunsets. So it's kind of just my favorite month. Yeah.
So how does it sustain in the heat of the summer?
Yeah. So I don't even think it's as much about the heat of the summer as it is about the winds of the spring for us. Planting anything right now is what I try not to do, because last year in particular, we had sand dunes just covering every seedling that I'd put in the ground, every little transplant that I'd put in, anything that I'd put in the ground. Mostly it would be covered in dirt or sandblasted to where they ended up dying too. And so it's not even as much about how hot it is in the summer as it is like, I can't get anything to come up and grow well until, you know, I've got to wait until May to plant, which then gives you maybe the end of July or August before you have a whole lot of flowers. And so we do like open farm stuff. We do it from August to October because that's whenever I know we'll have flowers. And the summer, I feel it's sad because people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to come see you in the summer. And I'm like, probably not, because I don't know how much I'll have in the summer. And I try to plant for some, especially to do, you know, smaller arrangements, have like a small area at least that has flowers for those types of things, or weddings and things like that. But it's just, you never know, which is, you know, weather. Gotta love it.
I want to talk about your LCU experience.
Yeah.
Let's start with how you decided to come to LCU.
Well, I was a junior in high school, and I feel like maybe this is normal for a lot of LCU kids. I feel like a lot of LCU kids, though, like, they kind of know that they love LCU as soon as they get to the campus. And I guess that's what happened for me, but I'd always heard about LCU, but I didn't want to go. I did not want to go to LCU. I wanted to go to Baylor, which is hilarious, even like thinking back on it now, because I don't think I would have liked it at all. Nothing against Baylor. But my parents were also those people that were like, okay, if you want any help paying for school at all, then LCU, Tech, or SBC are closest to us, so you can choose one of those. And I was like, okay, well, my brother was going to Tech, and he It's not that I didn't want to go with him to school, but I'd always been at a small school at Ropes. And I'd always been Caleb's little sister. And that was great. I loved it. It's not that I didn't like it. But I wanted to try to not be Caleb's little sister somewhere. And not that tech, I mean, there's like almost 40,000 students, right? Like everyone tells me there's no way you would have been Caleb's little sister there. And I was like, no, I probably would have gone into the Rawls Business College. And Caleb was in the Rawls Business College. And he was on homecoming court and all this stuff. And so I was like, no, you know, I'm not going to go to tech because I know my brother and I'm pretty sure he's a pretty big deal. So we're just going to not. And so I was like, okay, well, that leaves me with LCU. And I was like, I don't really know about that at all. And I visited and I was like, okay, never mind. Like I was in my senior year at this point and I was just all of a sudden sold. And a whole lot of people from my church were going over there too. And I knew quite a few people that would be here. And so I was like, okay, I think I can do it. I'll go to LCU. And it was, I guess that's the rest is history there.
How would you describe your LCU experience? What were some things you were involved in, some of your favorite memories, and then how much did you enjoy that decision to be at Lubbock Christian University?
Yeah. I guess my freshman year, I mean, I was a nerd for the most part, any school-related thing I would feel like I was in. My freshman year, it was a blast. I started working in the admissions office, and I ended up working there all throughout until my senior year. And then I got into Kappa, so I was in club, I did Follies. And
big time Follies. Skylar's kind of a famous, legendary director of Follies, so don't sell yourself short there, Skylar.
The funny thing is my freshman year, I told everybody that I was in club with, if I ever say I want to do Follies, like direct it, just go ahead and tell me no. Like, there's no way you want to be a director of Follies. That's not going to happen. We had a really like kind of unorganized show that year, and so it was really one of those things I was like, I'm never doing Follies. Like, and I don't know, my little sister, she always wanted to be in Follies. She ended up going to tech, which is hilarious because I took on the Follies and she did not. But I loved Follies as soon as I got here, I guess. And so kind of fell into Follies.
You directed two or three times?
Three-time
director. Wow. How about that?
Yeah, wow. So much for never doing it, right? I had some horrible friends. Oh, no. I loved it, though. It was a good old time. But did that. I ended up getting in Senate. I did SLC. I toward my senior year, I guess, I was just like, oh, I can't say no to that either. I mean, I'll just do all the things. And so I loved it, though, because I loved just being able to go in the library and... Well, I don't know if I really loved this that much because, like I said, I was a nerd, and so I needed to do my homework, right? But the library is a social happening place, and so I could never get very much done in there unless if I, like, went and hid in the books where everybody else would go. But it was just one of those things that I loved all of it. I loved getting to hang out with all the people.
Despite the fact that you did not go to law school, mm-hmm. Despite the fact that you decided to start your own business, how did your education here at LCU prepare you for succeeding in that?
Yeah, so my majors were history and criminal justice, which is totally not flower farming at all. That's what people probably laugh about the most whenever they get out to the farm and they're like, oh, okay, so were you like biology major or what did you do? And I was like, no, I'm not at all. I didn't do biology. I took a lot of biology classes just because I was going to go to med school. And it's funny, I could still see myself doing all of those different things. But I love what I'm doing now too. And so the biology, it's totally not what I did. But I did take some classes, right? And so I knew a little bit about that. The history part of it still comes in. I'm telling you, I look up the, like, whole history on where this flower came from, how in the world it, you know, I don't know. I look into all of that, and that stuff interests me so much. And so I feel like people are really interested in that too. Whenever they're sitting out there on the farm, or, you know, get that bouquet of flowers and they're like, oh, this one's really pretty. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know that Jesus was talking about that, you know, like they're like, they're like, oh wow. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. But also just the critical thinking and, you know, everything that I feel like all of your teachers probably harp on a whole lot of, like, critical thinking, making sure that you're ready to be a part of whatever God has planned for you in this world too. And then just studying, researching, doing all those different things in order. Like I said, I would research how to grow whatever flower, and I still do that today. I'm like, why are those leaves yellow? And so here I go on my, like, deep dive into how in the world and what I can do to fix it. And there's just a whole lot of everything I learned. And I really came out of my shell at LCU. I feel like I was quite a bit more of a quiet and shy person before I was in school at LCU. And I'm telling you, this place just made me come out of my shell and get to see how amazing people are and what you can do with people too. And so, yeah, I think that it helps so much every single day in ways that I don't even know. And I mean, I even took some communications classes and they were a blast too. And I got to go on the business trip with Tracy Mack and quite a few of the other professors there in the business school. And I don't even know why I got to go on this trip, really. I was not a business major. Really makes no sense. But I got to go and see faith in business. And I really think that was something too that I was like, you know, I'm going to make sure that, like, this is where we go with the business, because it's not going to be, I mean, all the classes that I took, everything that I had looked into whenever I was starting it all out, it said, don't share religion and don't share politics on your Instagram or whatever that is, like any social media. And I remember taking that first picture of that flower and I was like, how can I not, you know, like, this is just shouting his praises here in this. And so I'm telling you, LCU is amazing. Did all the things.
That's really cool. There's a lot of students at LCU right now that are business majors that have aspirations of working in business or even starting their own business someday soon. What advice would you give to those people based on your experience?
Yeah, I would say just be ready to pick up your boots and get going, because you're going to fail a lot. Something's not going to work out, and it's probably going to be something that you've invested in, especially if you're going from a business standpoint, right? Like, you've invested time, money, energy in it. One thing for me was tulips. Like, I want tulips to grow so bad. they don't grow very well here just because the unusual temperatures during the day of the winter. It doesn't get super duper cold, and it really doesn't maintain that coldness. You know, we'll go from 32 to 80 degrees. And so it just really makes tulips go crazy. And I planted about 5,000 of them, and I was like, they're going to do so good. I cannot wait. And they all had stems that were about 2 inches long. And I was like, okay, this is not a good cut flower at all. Like, what was I thinking? You know, but it was one of those things like, okay, I've just got to learn from it. Yes, I just wasted money, really. Like, we're looking at wasted money, wasted all that time planting, everything there was wasted. But at the same point, was it? Because I learned from it. I'm not growing them until I can grow them in a controlled environment. And you just got to be ready to take all the curveballs as they come, because they will. And I think another thing is too, don't be afraid to say no to things. There's a lot of, you know, we want to please people and we want to be able to do everything, especially whenever you're starting a new business and you're like, okay, but I need the money. Like, I really do, because it's a brand new business, right? Like, I need it. But if it's not like what you're doing, and if it's not like going to be good for you in a monetary way, like at all, you know, there's certain times in the winter that I wish I could have flowers for people to get, but at the same time, then I'd be having to buy those flowers and charge them more than my regular price, which would then make people think that that was the size arrangement that all my other arrangements would be, whenever really I like to try to pack them pretty full. And so, you know, what is the good part of that? There's two different sides to it that you're like, okay, well, yes, it is good to have the business in the moment, but at the same time, like, that sets an expectation that is not true. But then also, they might have already bought one in the summer months where it's beautiful, and then they have the expectation of the really beautiful big arrangement, and that same amount of money is not going to get the same in the cold months. And so there's a lot. You got to learn how to say no too, and you can't pack everything into the day. It just doesn't work. Sometimes you got to say, sorry, I cannot do that this weekend. I already have plans for who knows what, you know? And so I probably also need to learn better how to say no to, like, the business does not have to run everything all the time, because you do need a little bit of time just to have for you and your family and what you're doing. So not business related.
Well, we can feel the passion that you have for Sky Gardens and this industry. So as you're getting started, one of the biggest things that you really grew exponentially has been your social media following. There's thousands and thousands of followers on your Facebook and Instagram. So tell us about that process as you started to gain momentum on the social media side. And then ultimately, where can the people listening, where can they find you?
Yeah. I think social media is really an amazing thing, but it's also like our least favorite thing, you know, at the same time. I think a lot of people, like, we can all say there's a lot of bad stuff on social media, right? And there's hopefully a lot of good stuff too. And I think that's what, like, you know, people like us, we try to go out there and bring some light to social media, because sometimes it can be a really dark place. And that was kind of where, I guess, it all started rolling, is people were saying, you know, okay, you have to post certain times a week, however many times a day, and all these different things. And it can be exhausting to keep up with and to keep going. But as far as, like, just, you have to be yourself, and you have to know who you are and whose you are too, because then you can have some hateful comments come in on social media, and they can say things that you're like, there was one video I made, it was a reel, and I was trying to show these flowers, right, and my cat jumped up on the table, and I just barely, I'm telling you, barely, like, nudged the cat over, and all of a sudden, I was a cat hater, who knows what, you know, like, the thing goes off, and so all these hater comments are coming in, and my sister is just getting fired up, and I was like, Bethany, it doesn't matter, like, we all know that I don't hate cats. This is fine. It's not like it's a big deal, but there are things like that that happen with social media too. And I just try to share exactly what's going on. It's a lot of real content that I'm sure people are like, wow, her car's a mess today. And I'm like, yeah, I know. You should see what it's going to look like by the end of the weekend, because it's going to get worse. Right. And so I just try to be super real on there. I think it's also, I mean, I'm in a beautiful business, right? I mean, there's a lot of beauty in it. There's a lot of things that go wrong too. But people love to hear about the things that go wrong whenever they're just like, okay, but I mean, this ended up coming out too. And sometimes they don't get that right in that moment, right? Like, sorry, all of these flowers just died. That's all I have to say about, you know, I mean, that happens on social media too. Like, that's all I have to say about that today. Sorry. I mean, here that is. But there's a lot of beauty, and there's a lot of beauty in just being real on that. And so, yeah, on social media, I am running all the time. Instagram is Sky Gardens TX, and Facebook is Sky Gardens, probably TX too. If you don't put the TX in it, apparently there's Sky Gardens in London that I've never been to. So, but that's the only other Sky Gardens I know of. So, but it's lots of Sky Gardens anywhere you look. And then skygardens.com is our website too, or tx.com. But yeah.
What's the future of Sky Gardens look like? What other dreams do you have that we haven't seen yet that are in your head?
It goes on and on and on, I'm telling you. I love welcoming people out to the farm. It's my favorite way, just because I was standing in the field 2 years ago. It was after one of those crazy weather storms took out everything in May. Like, we didn't have any transplants left. We didn't have anything left. And I replanted it all, had flowers in the fall, and I was just looking at it, and I was like, you know, this is really cool, right? And I can probably sell a lot of bouquets to people, and they're just going to be like, oh, yeah, these are cool flowers, you know? But whenever they can come out here and they can see where they came from and what they're doing and how in the world they're growing, and they can see us, like, where we're at, too, of, like, we still haven't finished the who knows what, you know, like, and the farm is getting more to the point where it's like, okay, there's a lot of finished projects around, but especially at that point, we didn't have anything finished for the most part. And they could just see, this is real, and this is what God is doing right out here at this moment. And so my favorite thing is for people to come to the farm, and I hope we can keep on adding animals and making it more of an experience out there. The goal is to get some restrooms out there so they're not in my parents' house and just get things set up more at the farm than anything for people to come and see the miracle of the flowers.
Wonderful. I just have a couple of quick hitters, and if Nathan, you have any remaining, go ahead as well. But Skylar, what's your favorite holiday to help provide people flowers for?
That's a funny question, because Valentine's Day is the worst placed holiday in the whole world, because it's in February,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. No flowers are blooming right then. Yeah. So I'm like, what in the
and
world?
And how many people text you? I know I'm one of them. I'm one of how many people that text you on February 13th?
No, it is. But it's so hard, because I'm like, well, I'm not even, that's, Keegan, I feel bad, because it's okay that you text me. It's good. One of these days I'll have flowers on Valentine's Day. I'll figure it out.
I text Skylar on February 13th and the day before Mother's Day.
I love Mother's Day, though. Mother's Day is so much fun, because we do have more flowers. I wish, like, Easter was a bigger flower holiday, just because, like, right now the flowers are blooming so much, and they're, like, they do so good. And I think a lot of people want flowers for Easter. But it's nothing like Mother's Day and Valentine's Day, right? And then I wish, our church camp is always on July 4th, and I make that a priority to go to that. But I wish I could provide flowers for July 4th. I think that's like that'd be my favorite holiday, just because it'd be all red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
Be fun.
And your least favorite holiday?
My least favorite holiday? St. Patrick's Day. I don't know why that's a thing.
Gotcha. What time do you wake up every morning, and what time do you go to sleep?
Oh, it depends on the time of year. I'm normally up and trying to get things cut right whenever the sun rises or a little bit before it. And then as far as going to sleep, I should go to sleep earlier, but I normally don't. And so I'm normally up doing things until probably about midnight or so. So
Skylar's a hard worker. She doesn't have a lot of quit in her.
No,
I can testify to that. She works hard. And I know you said you can't do it, but what's your favorite flower? If you had to pick, someone made you pick your favorite flower.
Oh, Keegan, that's so hard, because probably a ranuncula right now, because that's what's blooming.
Awesome.
So, yeah, awesome. Ask me that in August.
Any final thoughts, Nate?
That was going to be my question. What's blooming right now? I guess that one. And then what are some of the other ones you have at the farm today?
Right now it's those anemones, and then there's butterfly ranunculas and bachelor buttons, daffodils. It's just a range of things we're about to get into. As we start warming up, it'll start just kind of exploding.
It's wonderful.
And so today's March 27th. Wednesday, this episode will be released later today. Easter is this Sunday. Skylar wants flowers to become more prominent on Easter Sunday, so reach out to her before this weekend if you're listening now, so we can make that happen.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be so fun, because they're beautiful.
Yeah. Skylar, thank you so much for taking the time to come back to your LCU family and have a conversation with us today.
Thank you all for having me. It's been a blast.
And one more time, where people can get in touch with you. And
yeah, so it's skygardenstx.com. That's our website. Sky Gardens on Facebook, or Sky Gardens TX on Instagram.
Wonderful. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Skylar Richardson. On behalf of Nathan Carcino, I'm Keegan Stewart. I hope you all have a great day. God bless.